Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me today. Russell Brown is our guest, our good friend, and a longtime member of our Brain Trust, one of the smartest guys I know, the president of Business Book Press and the author of Preparing Your Business for Sale and Strategies for Successfully Buying and Selling a Business or Selling a Business, and his software program, the BizPricer. He's one of our good friends. That's the most important thing about all this. Russell, welcome back to the show.
Well, I'm glad to be back, Jim, and I'm happy to hear that you've been named to that Heavy 100 list again. You know, I keep telling you, got to lose a little weight.
I know you're right. I got to lay off the pastries. You're right about that. But you know, really, I did say something to the folks who come up with that name at Talkers Magazine. You know, I did say, you know, I feel compelled to speak up on behalf of the ladies who probably don't want to be called part of the Heavy 100. And they said, well, what do you recommend? And I said, well, I think you should call us the Radio Gods and Goddesses. But so far, that hasn't caught on, Russ. So I'm a little surprised because usually, you know, I have such great ideas, most people are compelled to use them. But apparently, that hasn't caught on very much.
Well, maybe you should run a contest among your listeners and come up with some.
That's what we need to do. Another contest. My audience loves contests. Of course they do. Russ, we've been, for the last 8 years now almost, you and I have been talking about buying and selling businesses. You've been one of our most abiding and steadfast supporters of all the things that we do, and we appreciate that over the years, and we're continuing a series that we've been conducting now for several months, I should say, on some of the things that you need to really pay attention to if you're looking at buying a business. And we're on the overdue taxes part of the discussion, aren't we?
Right, and what we did is I put all of the key due diligent items in a alphabetized list, and so we're at the T now, and that's taxes that are possibly overdue or unpaid, and we're talking about things like income taxes, sales taxes, FICA, you know, all of that stuff related to payroll, and sales taxes are very important. And the reason you have to look into that is because a lot of people hate to pay the government the most.
Yep.
You know,
there is many ways for a small business owner to come up with a way to beat the government out of taxes, whether it be evasion or avoidance, one of the two. There's many ways as there are small business owners.
Right, and
everybody doesn't do this, but some people do.
Right. And you don't really care. I mean, what their objectives are, or what they're really doing as far as a morality thing necessarily. What you really care about is: are you going to get, if you buy this business, perhaps, are you going to get stuck with any of these past due taxes? And of course, Uncle Sam has a way of finding ways to collect the taxes, even if you'd had nothing to do with it.
Not only Uncle Sam, but the state, the uncle states are like that as well.
Exactly.
And folks, by the way, this series has been captured for you in archives. And so if you want to go back and listen to some of the things that Russell and I have talked about on the previous topics that we've been doing, which is probably about 20 or so just in this series. If you want to go back, you can find those in Russell Brown's place, his position in our Brain Trust, or in the archives under Buying and Selling a Business, Business Acquisitions. You can find all those, and there'll be you know, in a order there, and with narrative that will explain to you what was being talked about. So you can go back and listen to these things at your convenience. But you know, the taxes, it's not only federal income tax, it's not only state income tax, But there are other taxes, Russ. There are sales tax and also franchise tax. Some states have a franchise tax.
Absolutely.
Or a business asset tax.
Right. And most of those are annual payment kinds of things. And, of course, they give you a 30-day window to pay it and so on.
But there's also employee payroll tax.
Right. Right. And in our state, the states I'm familiar with anyway, one of the biggest ones is the sales tax, because the sales tax is basically an honorary thing. I mean, there's no way of collecting specific data and what you owe, except by what you tell them your sales are.
That's what your sales are. Hold on to that thought, Russell. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back. This is, folks, this is a very, very important part of the due diligence of buying a business. You've got to know about what's up with the taxes. 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Russell Brown, the author of Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business. And Russell, give us your website, please.
Businessbookpress.com.
Businessbookpress.com. And that's also where we can find the BizPricer, isn't it?
Yes, BizPricer, Business Valuation Software.
All right. And that's if you're looking at buying a business, or you're thinking about selling your business and you want to see how your business stacks up, they can buy your software and it actually helps them go through the due diligence process, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Sure. Yep. That's an extensive process, by the way, due diligence. And whether if you're a buyer, you absolutely need to know what you should be looking for. And if you're a seller, you ought to. You really do need to know what the buyer is going to be looking.
There's something under a million steps of due diligence, probably, Russell. And in any given business that you're thinking about buying, you probably need to take 100,000 of those something under a million steps, don't you?
Well, I wouldn't put it quite so. I wouldn't want to scare anybody off with that kind of.
Well, the only thing about it, though, Russ, I'd rather scare. I know what you're saying, and my audience knows that I've got my tongue in my cheek when I say that. But the truth is let me put it this way: there's a lot more steps than you think that there are.
Yeah, because there's a lot more facets to a small business than I think some people realize. You know, a lot of people have a particular skill or interest. And that's what concerns them, and they want to do that. If you love flowers and flower arranging and all that, and maybe you want to be a florist and buy a florist shop, and that's fine that you know how to arrange flowers and all that, but there's a whole lot more to do with the business being a florist.
That's right.
And you need to know what all those things are before you get into it, so that when you consider buying a going business, that you know other things to look for.
Well, and the person you're buying it from, if they've got a business that you want to acquire, you know, they may have already done some things incorrectly, improperly, ill-advisedly, that you wind up, they create a mess and you wind up inheriting that mess. And that's the reason why you don't want to have a mess when you start out, and you don't want to pay for something that you don't get. And so that's why we're having these conversations. And you know, we were talking about the taxes, Russell, and the different things that people have to pay out in taxes, and depending on how you acquire that business will depend on how big a deal some of these taxes are for you, won't they? For example, if you're the difference between buying assets and buying the stock. Talk to us about that.
Well, there's a big difference between buying assets and stock. If you buy the corporate stock, there's a lot of, and there's pros and cons on either side, and this is really that would be the topic of a whole different, a whole separate show. But the when you buy the corporate stock, you're buying everything in that incorporated business, all its assets, but also all its liabilities.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yes. And when you buy just the assets, then you technically wouldn't be liable for various liabilities perhaps associated with the business, such as debts owed to suppliers and things of that nature, except for if there is goods in the business that haven't been paid for to a supplier. Then there's various, you know, depending on the state, there's either implied or actual liens against that property that can be collected from whoever is holding that property.
Or so, if there's debt owed to a bank, for example, on any of the assets, inventory or equipment or computers or trucks or whatever, if you buy those assets, that underlying debt, the UCCs that have been filed on those assets are still going to be encumbered.
Yes. These are all kinds of things, and you're absolutely right. Whether you're buying a corporation or buying just the assets of the corporation and letting the corporation expire or stay with the previous owner, these are all things that you have to consider. And, you know, in the writings that I've done on the subject, you know, we talk about all of this and point you in the right direction on things to be looking for.
Most CPAs that I know recommend that you buy the assets, and then which include the name, which include the phone numbers, which can include the leases, and you can still have all the good stuff. But by buying the assets and not the stock, anything that you haven't found or that could come back to bite you if you buy the stock, kind of you get disconnected from that, don't you?
Well, that's true, but there is different advantages in buying buying the corporate stock. And again, we could go into that another time. But there are times when people buy the corporate stock, and when that happens, there's different things that you have to really look for to make sure that these potential tax liabilities don't come back to bite you after the closing.
And how do we find out if the taxes have been paid? What are the steps?
Contact the Secretary of State's office. There's various sub-offices to the Secretary of State that have to do with tax collection.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, provide the name of the business and ask them, you know, with a letter. You can ask them, does this... Oh, and you should... Most businesses... require, not most, but all require a federal tax number, and for one, and then most of them also states require that businesses to have a tax number, and you supply those numbers to the state and the federal government. Ask if there's any taxes unpaid,
and then you can also ask the owner and ask them to show you evidence of the taxes that have been paid.
Right, this is all.
That's a good place to start. Hold on to that thought, Russell. We're going to take a quick break. More to come after these messages. Tin Till, I'm Jim Blassingame. Russell Brown is our guest. Tin Till, I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Russell Brown. And he's the author of Biz Pricer. And that's a software program that I certainly recommend to you. And Russell, give us the website again, please.
BusinessBookPress.com.
And they can actually download the software from your website, can't they?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Or you sell it to them with a CD. And, folks,
yeah.
I know, you know, this is me saying this, not Russell. I like having my own CD. So, Russell, if I were going to buy it from you, I might go ahead and download it just so I could have it right now. But I'd also want you to send me that CD.
Right, and there's a lot of people who do that.
Because I want my own copy.
Right.
As I said, I recommend it to you, and I hope you'll check it out at businessbookpress.com and his books as well. Russell, let's get back into the tax issue of buying a business, the taxes that have been paid. First thing you want to just ask your seller, you know, are you paying your taxes? What's the best way to ask that? Just say, are there any outstanding taxes, any outstanding problems with tax entities that we need to know about right now?
Yeah, okay. You might not even want to use the word problem. You just want to know if there's any, just ask them if there's any unpaid taxes that are due at this point. Or you could even just begin to say, well, what are your sales taxes? How do you pay them? You know, some people pay annually if you got a very small business. Some people pay quarterly. Some pay monthly. And
what about this, Russell? What if you say, well, let's talk about taxes for a minute. I'm going to have to, one of the things we're going to do is we're going to be checking with all the entities to make sure that they believe that you're all squared away. But as far as you know, before we get there, so I don't have any surprises, as far as you know, are you all squared away with all your taxes?
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, that's excellent. Yeah, and that kind of
lets them know that you're going to be checking into this thing, so they don't.
Yeah, you're going to be doing. You're going to continue the due diligence beyond what he tells you, and so it enforces the. You know, encourages them to be the honest person that he is. So,
because if you don't say that, if they don't tell you that there is a problem, it's not because they're being. Really, it's not. They don't think of it as dishonest. It's a hurt. It's a painful. If they've got a problem, they don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and I mean, this is the kind of thing that makes sort of a fibber out of honest people. You know, when you if you don't ask the question the right way. So then, how do we find out? Now, are you sure the Secretary of State can tell you about sales tax? Don't they need to go to the revenue?
Well, when I say the Secretary of State, I meant, you know, there are sub agencies under them, and every state's different, and some have a level of, you know, maybe it's under the other side of the government in the state. But usually it falls under the Secretary of State issues having to do with tax collection, at least in
the revenue department would have sales tax. Also,
right.
There's a sales tax division of most states that have sales tax.
Right.
The revenue department, the state revenue department would know about income tax.
Right.
The
we
Secretary
have a Commissioner
of
Revenue Services in our state, for example.
Right. And the Secretary of State would also know about franchise tax. What about, wouldn't you say that you should check behind everybody on these things, but if you're buying a business that's maybe been on a little bit of hard times, those you really absolutely positively need to make sure you check all that, because taxes are something that if you don't send your taxes in, you don't always get a phone call the next day.
Right.
And
exactly.
So you can go months, maybe even years sometimes behind on your taxes. And so if the business has been in tough shape, that's kind of a little bit of a red flag, isn't it?
Right. Because, bureaucracies such as state governments tend to lag behind these issues. And like you're saying, you know, they're not profit-oriented, so it could get – they won't forget you. But,
right.
But they'll put you – you know, you'll be in a queue, and it'll be a while before, you know, they get after you. But
right.
They will get after you, and you don't want to have bought this business in the meantime before you know. And by the way, another good way that I used to do it is just ask for copies of, say, wouldn't the last filing that you made
right. –
for your sales tax,
right.
Your FICAs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, on that form, you'll see the address that this was sent to.
Right.
And that's a good starting point. So,
you ask all these questions, folks.
Sure. And so there's lots of things like that you can do that question the integrity of the person or whatever, and you get to the answer.
Absolutely. Russell, I've got to wrap it up. Give us your website one more time.
www.businessbookpress.com.
Thanks a lot, Russell, for being here. Good job today.
Okay, thank you, Jim.
I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and I want to remind you that when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.